The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
A large number of programs are thinking, this is not how it was supposed to be. It is the Chuck Oliver Show on a Tuesday, starring Chuck Oliver. Dan, how was yesterday? Fines, lost affiliates.
No, like I said, the ship has kept afloat. We're good. You're back from your quarters, and we're continuing on with the journey.
That's all I wanted to know. Dan got that, like, the long wooden pole out where you push off of the sand when you get stuck a little bit. So we're back out under the waters, and everything's good. Yeah, I was getting actually my first stick yesterday. Huge facility. National Guard was there. Medical professionals. I was scheduled for a noon 15. They said don't get there more than 15 minutes. This is just general information for everybody. Get there no more than 15 minutes before. I got there actually 17 minutes before, but by the time they checked me in, it was like noon 01. By 12:20, I was done and gone and on my way. And so I've already got the second one. I had the second one scheduled actually in line. So easy peasy. And life's pretty grand, and so let's get away from sanitizer and elbows and masks and a third capacity. How about that? All right? I want to be in some stands, and I want to be annoyed by crowd noise. That's what I want more than anything. So the Chuck Oliver Show rolls on. I am back. I said a large number of programs are thinking, this isn't how it was supposed to go. And I'm talking about, and I have this actually firsthand from a head coach in FCS. Now, the reason that I started poking around is because I heard from a buddy of mine who's actually in the media, and he does, hang on a second, I'm going to talk off air. All right. My buddy's with a sideline reporter. I thought he was either color or sidelines for an FCS program. And he started this with a little comment, and then I talked to a head coach. Different program, and I just started texting around people in the media who cover FCS programs, and the feedback from the coaches, it's almost universal. No, it's universal to this point. Now, very small sample size. I got opinions either firsthand or through sources from probably a half dozen head coaches in FCS. And their season has been far less than what even a mid-range realistic projection was, and I'm talking almost every level. First and foremost, do you know what every single coach has encountered to a far larger degree than ever before? As a result of playing the spring season, which they steam forward towards, when do the playoffs start? Maybe next weekend, I think. And so they're working towards that. And they have their conference champs, and they have some at-large bids. And I think I apologize, folks. I think it's 16 teams. And so they'll go into the FCS playoffs. And in part because of the change to a spring season that we just referenced, every single coach had some version of, my program has been reduced to a series of once-per-week camps for FBS programs to scout because they're not so busy right now with things like, you know, practice and games and planning for opponents. And here we are. And you know what you hear in recruiting all the time? Well, they missed on him. There are times, no, nobody missed on him. Like, nobody missed on Khalil Mack. Khalil Mack's about as fearsome a defender as you'll find in the NFL. I mean, he's so impossible to block. He's so good. And there was a game. I don't know if David will remember this, our board op there, our engineer, but there was a game, and I'm going to say this goes back to probably the 2000, maybe the 13 season or 14 season, whenever it was. And it was the first week of the college football season. And I came in that Monday, and I was talking to a buddy of mine, and he's an Ohio State fan. And I said, best player on the field was a linebacker for Buffalo. Buffalo had opened at Ohio State and just got, I mean, steamrolled because it's Ohio State and it's Buffalo. Khalil Mack was playing against children. Khalil Mack, like two plays in, I was like, who's that? Who's that? And I wasn't pointing to a Buckeye. Nobody missed on Khalil Mack. I think he was a one-star recruit when he showed up. Now, I grew 4 inches, gained 75 pounds of muscle. And his body fat was like 0.08, and it was his earlobes. All right, so at that point, nobody missed on him. FCS players, there are a lot of times that is the level, and it's, by the way, it's a great level of football to play. You're going to school for free. It's not nothing. So the FCS player, many times that's where he is supposed to be skill-wise. Many times it's more than that. And when programs are bogged down with things like practice, scouting, opponents, et cetera, they don't have nearly the time to, hey, I'll turn on the TV and look, it's Jackson State. Who are they playing? I'm Grambling. Okay, well, I'll watch this. I coach wide receivers for Texas A&M. I'm going to look at that guy and that guy and that guy. 2020 was its own, you know, sack of squirrels. We know that. In 2019, the most recent full, quote, normal year we had, there were, and this was best estimate, because there were some that it's hard to tell how it actually turned out. FCS apparently not great with record keeping. But there were either 36 or 37 transfers from FCS to FBS in 2019. There are already twice as many of those for the coming season. And by the way, when I say, I'm saying like up to like August 1st, all right, I'm here. I'm ready to transfer and I got approved. Well, where are you coming from? I was at Morehead State. Where are you going now? Texas. I'm going from Morehead State to Texas. It's August 1st and I'm ready for practice. It took all the way up to August. It's April 6th, by the way, people. All the way up to August to get to that number that I think was 37. Could have been 38 or 36 or whatever it was. But it was off because of clerical some or other. There are more than twice as many FCS to FBS transfers so far. And it's in large part because you have FBS coaches sitting around going, well, we got spring practice, or we did. And we had recruiting, well, we did. And you wind up with things like, I've already told you folks, Bailey Zapp, he's a draftable prospect for the NFL. And he was at Houston Baptist, which I talked about being in a strip plaza. It's actually, it has a campus. Dan, were you about to tell me it had a campus?
Yeah, it's like weird. It's like almost like an esplanade that splits off in between two major roads.
It is. And so because I wanted to make sure, I was like, man, now wait a minute. There's a college that there's a pizza joint I go to at a food court, and you can register for classes at this college in the food court. Now, I was thinking that was Houston Baptist. It's a bit more than that, but not much. Houston Baptist, their quarterback says, enough of that. I'm transferring to Western Kentucky. And Bailey Zapp's going to throw for a bazillion yards next year. Derek Parsons, running back at Howard. Do you know where Howard is? It's Washington, D.C. I don't even know who Dedrick Parsons is. I think I want to hang out with him. He was a running back. Good enough to get on the radar of who? Well, James Franklin, he's close. Bronco Mendenhall, Hawaii. He transferred from Howard to Hawaii. You win. You talk about making the most of the pandemic. I got a year, all expenses paid, living in Hawaii. I'm picking random – just to show you who – Brian Foley goes from Holy Cross to Duke. Xavier Williams goes from Northern Iowa to Nebraska. Jack Kristofek goes from Sam Houston State to Mississippi State. John Staten, Samford, John Staten, Georgia. Pair of players from St. Francis to South Carolina. The flip side of this, because a lot of the transfers I'm talking about, you got FBS coaches sitting around watching these kids play. That's only part of it. Do you know the flip side? The players we already knew were good enough, and they've already taken off, either as transfers or, folks, this is all if a team's best players even showed up. Because either they've already transferred to FBS schools or, as the schedule change made any FCS prospect with a chance of getting drafted, the schedule made that kid have a choice. Either play the spring season or sit out and train for the NFL draft. There are all, like, Kyle Duggar was a second-round pick a year ago out of Lenoir Rhyne. Well, Chuck, he's FCS. How many of those kids are going to sit out of season? Kyle Duggar would have. As it was, played a season in 2019, second-round pick. Trey Lance, he might be the fourth overall pick this year for all I know. Carson Wentz from FCS was second overall. Jabril Cox, who we talked last week, should have gone to the draft. Any FCS prospect that was already on the Sunday radar, that kid had a choice, either play the spring season or just blow it off completely and get ready for the draft. So that's why every one of the FCS head coaches that I either talk to directly or through, you know, intermediaries, every one of them, same exact opinion. Every one, including at least one that I know is going to the playoffs. Every one of them, I'm not certain I would have done it again. I'm not certain I would vote for a spring season. I'm not certain. And a coach, what does he want more than anything? He wants to be out there coaching. They want to play games. That's how players get better. They play games. Every single one of them. I'm not sure this was the right thing to do.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Now back to Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
Both sides have plenty to be happy with. Both sides have plenty to be pissed about, which is typically the sign of of a good scrimmage. Then also, we were able to line up with threes, and it actually looked like football.
Be Mike Leach, Mississippi State head coach, and it is a week from Saturday, about 11 days from now. Super Bulldog Weekend is back. Didn't have it last year, and it is the three-day celebration around the spring game, and it will be his first, actually. And there's a lot of firsts that head coaches, some of them, like Mike Leach, for instance, at State, Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss, Sam Pittman, I'm going to have to assume, that, and I'm just named three guys that at least two of them really, really, really good in recruiting. And Mike Leach, at least the personality, what he gets done in recruiting is a lot of it through the personality and the quirkiness and the in-person and the whatever else, believe it or not. Yes. Well, they didn't get any of that, especially a guy like Sam Pittman. Sam Pittman's an amazing recruiter, and I don't know how. Let me take that back because that puts it in a negative light. I don't know what it is about him that makes him a great recruiter. It's not like, you know, oh, Sam Pittman, he shouldn't be a good recruiter. He's an amazing recruiter. I don't know what his specific pitch is. I don't know what game he is spitting. Dan, Sam Pittman's not a guy who spits game. That's not really a description for Sam Pittman, is it?
I would say that his game is being genuine.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, that counts for something.
Absolutely. And Lane Kiffin, like, they didn't even get to really get in their wheelhouse last year. And it was good in Fayetteville, and it was good in Oxford, and I think it'll be good in Starkville as well. But against the regular context of, hey, it's my first season in the Southeastern Conference, as a for instance. Against that, think, and part of what makes him, like, all the stuff in the good column, he didn't even really get to tap into that. Whether it was spring practice, the full 14 in the game, whether it was any sort of the hands-on with the quarterbacks and the offseason program, I didn't get any of that. Didn't get any of that. Now, neither did Lane, and Lane found a way to kind of make it work. And so that's your job, especially when you get paid $4.5 million, fill in the blank, I don't know, $7 million, whatever it is you get paid. That's your job, and it is. But there's always context. And understanding it, even comparing part of the context, comparing him against other first-year coaches, even in that conference, even in that division. Eli kind of found a way to make it work a little bit. He did. And that's Mike Leach's job as well. And it just was not the 2020 season wasn't what anybody really wanted outside of Nick Saban. It wasn't even what Nick Saban wanted. He got a number at the end of it. They were 13-0, I guess. Yeah, 13-0. He got a number at the end of it that he loved, and he got another ugly trophy. Should stay with the Crystal Football. But nobody really got what they wanted, and Mike Leach may be near the front of that line. Dan, how are you today?
You know, I don't think it's coincidental, and you kind of touched on this a little bit in the first segment, that a week from Thursday is likely going to change college sports because that supposedly is when the NCAA Division I Council is going to say, yep, go ahead, one-time transfer, yeah. Everybody go ahead and do it. And I know on the surface that sounds good, and I'm a proponent of it, and I've said it, and I know that coaches are a proponent of it, and of course players are going to say, oh, man, this is awesome. Now I have an opportunity that if it's not working out well for me here, well, I can go somewhere else, and I can be on the field with anticipation to play this fall during fall camp. The only problem is I think that you're going to be dealing with a good situation on the surface, but imperfect for 18, 19, and 20-year-olds, and here's what I mean. There's going to be a rush of kids that decide at the end of spring, because it's going to end for a lot of schools the following weekend, the 17th, is going to be a lot of spring games, and after that, I would suspect that Monday you're going to be having a lot of guys going into coaches' offices and saying, Coach, I want to go into the portal. All right, hey, go into the portal, all these different things. Chuck, it's going to be a buffet for a lot of these coaches, but then it's going to be bad for a lot of these players because it's going to come to May and June, and these guys are going to be looking around, some of them, and saying, huh, I might have to think long and hard of, do I have enough to be able to still go the JUCO route, or do I even really necessarily want to go the FCS route? Because I think we're going to be looking at a musical chairs game here where it is going to be the different rounds. We all know how musical chairs is played, where finally it is you and one other person, and there's not a chair for you or for them. Somebody's going to be left out after thinking, hey, I'm leaving a situation that I had here to go to what in my mind I think is going to be a better situation, but by the sheer numbers, it's not going to work out.
I saw a number, I believe, last week that in college hoops, every team – in the ACC, I think it maybe is the ACC, has an average of three players in the portal. Like, every school has three. And it may actually be a wider swath than that. Just a gargantuan number. And the reality is, and I've said this, I mean, there are times where whether it's system, coaching change, teammates, whatever. There are times where, though, like, you do trust the adult in the room and maybe sticking it out and trying to get through it.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Ballew here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now, more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
If we can, DeLorean back to the early 80s, I think it was a sixth grader. And I am at a garage sale, and I see a box. It's got a picture of a quarterback on the front, and it turns out it was Rex Kern, who won a national championship for Ohio State in 68, I think. And it was this dice and board game. It was a college football simulation, and it was called Bowl Bound. It was produced by Sports Illustrated. And this game was from the early 70s, and it was, I mean, the height of or the depth of statistical nerddom. Again, I was like a sixth grader when I bought this for a dollar. And I was like, I got a dollar on me. All right, here you go. It was a dollar. And so you had different team cards, and you would roll dice and look at the statistical outcomes. And it just, like I said, I was a sixth grader. If any girl I knew saw me playing this game, I wouldn't have gotten a date to prom, okay, like 6 years later. That's what this, but I loved it. Paid a dollar, bought it. Giant curveball, though, because it had 20 of the great teams from college football history, and there was a 1963 Wisconsin team on there. And I was like, that can't be possible. Wisconsin stinks at football. They're no good. Well, they weren't for about 25 years, and then Barry Alvarez showed up, and he made as big an impression on the Wisconsin program, because it wasn't much when he got there, probably as any individual made over a program, I don't know, outside of Nick Saban, maybe over the last 30 or 40 years. And Barry Alvarez has called it a career. I want to welcome on now from CFB Matrix. I tell you all the time, he's a consultant to people like ADs. Well, we're going to talk about that. It is Dave Bartu from CFB Matrix. Dave, how are you on this Tuesday?
Dude, brother, I am doing so great right now. And yeah, Barry Alvarez, man, gone. Done.
Do you think people, like, we can't, if you're 25 or 30 right now, those people can't conceptualize how god awful Kansas State was for about 40 years. There are certain programs you look at now and you're like, well, everybody's kind of good now. You know, Wake Forest can be good. Wake Forest was horrid for 3.5 decades. Wisconsin, I don't think I overstated that. His impact, given what he stepped into, it might be as much as anybody in college football over the last 30 years.
Oh, no question. I mean, really, I don't think there's any question. And for anybody listening, right, I mean, the question is your AD right now willing and able to walk out of the stands during the game and start coaching? Because you and I both know Barry would do that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there is, I can't think of another guy that has, because he built the program, and then he took ownership of it, almost literally.
Oh yeah.
And has run it. I mean, people know Paul Chryst is a head coach, or you know, Bielema is a head coach. No, Barry Alvarez is a head coach. Barry Alvarez ran everything, and what he did to elevate Wisconsin to where it is currently. I don't think you can point to one person that has done more for a program over the last two or three decades than Barry Alvarez. So that brings us to the next question, right? Is how bad are they going to regress without him?
Yep. What next? Because, I mean, it's kind of like, and I got my hand up. When Dan Mullen left Starkville, I was like, I look too much at the win total, like versus other great program or versus great programs in America. I should have looked at the win total versus Mississippi State. I breezed past Mississippi State maybe losing the best coach in their history of the program in Dan Mullen a little too quickly with Joe Moorhead coming in. I don't want people to do that with Barry Alvarez because, again, Wisconsin, they've been a playoff team. They've been undefeated. They've been in New Year's Six Bowls. They win conference titles. And if it, I'll be honest, it's an opportunity. If they dip, it's an opportunity.
Well, it certainly is an opportunity, but how hard is that job now? You're taking over, you know, to be the AD at Wisconsin right now after Barry Alvarez, yeah. You know, it's got to be one of the toughest jobs in the country. It's like the next guy after Nick Saban. Dude, that guy's 4 years and fired. You're not going to live up to the expectations. So, yeah, I'm absolutely fascinated with the chess pieces in motion now that Barry Alvarez is leaving Wisconsin. You know, it's they've really owned the Big Ten West for a decade.
Yeah.
So who's going to step up and fill that void? Is it going to still be Wisconsin? Because that's a window of opportunity. Somebody's got to jump through it.
Yep, and again, like you'll be the second. The best you can be is the second greatest AD in the history of the school. It's like whoever the Alabama coach is, the best you can be is the third greatest coach ever at Alabama. Continuing with Dave Bartu from CFP Matrix, the Kansas job. Give us a quick primer over what's going on.
Well, they got a new AD finally.
Yes, they do.
So now the job's wide open. New AD is from Kansas. Undergrad there, so familiarity. The new AD also graduated from has connections to Tulane. There's a gentleman there named Coach Fritz, who's awful damn good, that I would say is immediately in the top five with the new AD being hired. So in terms of putting guys on a list for Kansas, due to connectivity and ability, I think you got to put Willie Fritz right there, given everything that's just happened at Kansas in the last 24 hours.
All right. So Tulane is a smarty pants school, and they got a shiny new stadium, and the transfer portal is sort of the great equalizer. Didn't get a four-star quarterback the first round. Like, literally, a guy who wouldn't even take your phone call, he may transfer and be your starting quarterback 2 years later. I think the Tulane job is pretty and I'm just talking as a for instance, as a maybe, if it opens. I think that Tulane job is actually really, really underappreciated.
I like it. I mean, personally, I think it has a good opportunity. Where they're located, the talent base they can pull, their history of recruiting. I think last year they got some bad breaks. I mean, this was a team that was top 25 in defense and offensive scoring efficiency. I think they lost four games by a total of like 6 points. So it's a good football program, private school. There's a lot to like about it. So, I think if that was to ever come open, I do agree with you. I think the shine on it is a lot better than what people really really give it out there in terms of respect for the brand and the location.
I rarely ask you about analysts very much, but Randy Shannon is a guy that he always intrigues me because I think when it comes to the X's and O's, I really think he's a good coach. Now, here's the part where I'm just going to give you an opinion, and I don't know if this is accurate or not. I'm just going to tell you how it always struck me. And there's a little bit of, like, I'll say subdued racism here because he was a black head coach. Oh, he's a great recruiter. And I was like, no, he wasn't. I thought he was a better coach than he ever was a recruiter. But oh, he's a great recruiter. He's the head coach at Miami, and I was like, no, he's not. But that was just my take on it. Give me your lowdown on Randy Shannon. He's just an analyst right now, but he's going to be coaching again.
Yeah, he will be. As a head coach, he was terrible. I mean, just bottom line, he just wasn't very good. The guys he had running the offense and defense weren't good. The recruiting wasn't good. There was nothing good about him being a head coach. As a defensive coordinator, he has a really high ceiling. He's had some great years. He's had some fantastic years in a row.
Yeah, I was
not
talking
just lightning in a bottle.
Specifically as a linebackers coach or a DC, not running a program again.
Yeah,
that's what I was referring to.
No more running the program. Yeah, no more running the program, but absolutely a DC in the right situation. When you look at his profile as a DC, what you got to look at is when he was successful, what sort of coordinators was he going up against? So I think in the right situation, right program, with his defense acumen, he can be extremely effective. So, no, he shouldn't be an analyst for very long, and anybody getting him in that position is rich and lucky. I don't see that lasting for more than one season before he moves on to something bigger and better.
Now, I think the same thing applies to Will Muschamp. I would move him back one level, probably coach safeties or secondary. He'd coach defensive line. I know he could, but maybe coaching secondary or not running a program, but as a position coach or certainly as a DC, and I don't think Will would ever be a position coach again, I don't think. What's your take on him? Because he is an elite recruiter.
Is he?
At South Carolina, compared to South Carolina, in years where you don't have a Marcus Lattimore, I thought he did a pretty good job.
Oh, okay. I mean, I look at the recruiting classes he pulled, and they were no different than Steve Spurrier, who was arguably the laziest recruiter in the SEC. I mean, he didn't go anywhere to get guys. His average guy away from campus was the smallest number in the SEC the entire time he was there. And Will Muschamp, I didn't see an improvement in overall talent. So he might be a good recruiter. He's closed on a lot of deals. I get that. But as a defensive coordinator, I guess where is he going to be happy? Because the guy has so much money. The guy has been a head coach for nearly a decade. Is he going to be happy doing anything but head coach? How is he going to fit as a defensive coordinator with the money he's made, the contracts he's had, the success and lack thereof that he's had in his career? I don't know how he fits in or where. I think it will be with somebody that he's really good friends with. It's going to be a buddy hire. It's going to be somebody that that they feel they can get along together with. I don't think it's going to be in a spot where there could be a lot of conflict there.
You know, it's funny what you're talking about, because there was an exception that most people knew about. The head coach at Auburn before Pat Dye was a guy named Doug Barfield. And after he got fired, he was the head coach at Opelika High School, like about 15 minutes from campus. And that was, 40 years ago, and that was sort of an oddity and a curiosity. It's not anymore. You know where Chad Morris is, right? He's head coach at a high school in Texas now. John Chavis is coaching linebackers for an eighth-grade team in Knoxville. What you said about making so much money, like, you don't have to do the grind if you don't want to do the grind anymore.
No, and it's a terrible grind, Chuck. It is a horrible, terrible mental and physical. I don't know how these guys do it. I really, really don't. I mean, they wear themselves out. I can't recall the last time I was in a staff meeting where at least one guy didn't fall asleep from just sheer exhaustion. You know, so with the money these guys make, maybe it's just a me thing, you know, but I am amazed there aren't more guys that don't hang it up faster and take the money and ride off into the sunset and enjoy the last 30 years instead of the last 10.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I'm going to go ahead and tell everybody there is no player in the NFL draft projections right now that has been flying up. I mean, bacon grease on this kid, like Mac Jones. We will have Dave Bartu next to talk about Mac and some other quarterbacks as we get closer to the NFL draft in about 3 weeks. That's coming up next on the Chuck Oliver Show.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Ballew here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
The New York Jets were able to find out a whole lot more about Sam Darnold than I was over the past three seasons because they have decided to move on from him. He was the second overall pick back in 18. And I'm going to tell you what I saw every time I know he has an unbelievable arm, and I thought he was going to be a success. I really did. Here's what I think I've observed with the Jets since they drafted Sam Darnold second overall. I was like, all right, go get you some. No week-to-week ground threat, poor pass protection, no consistent breakout wide receivers, and unimaginative coaching. But it's Sam Darnold's fault. So they have decided to trade him. They're taking a quarterback at two, which they're at least settles some things. When you have a team trade up to number three, like the San Francisco, they didn't do it to draft an offensive lineman or a tight end. So suddenly there's a premium on quarterbacks. And, folks, you can take the Pepsi Challenge with Dave Bartu versus just about anybody else evaluating quarterbacks. The man knows what he's doing. And, again, every Tuesday, bottom of hour one, we spend the final half of hour one with Dave Bartu. Want to welcome him back on now. Dave, I don't know if you can go back in time and maybe remember some of your impressions about Sam Darnold. But the truth is, as much as it is on a quarterback – when there's no ground game, breakout receivers, poor coaching, and bad pass pro, it's going to be hard to find out exactly what that kid could have been. That was my take on Sam Darnold, at least.
Right. If there is some way we could somehow quantify the value of a franchise or the positive or negative value on a quarterback, right? Yeah. I mean, would Sam Darnold have been better at a different franchise? Was it just the Jets because they sucked? You know, with Darnold, when he came out, I had some hope for him kind of breaking a little bit of the mold, okay? Because by the numbers, guys that come from elite recruiters fail in the NFL 92% of the time, period. You're a quarterback at a top 10 recruiter, you're going to suck in the NFL, almost invariably, you know? And I feel it is from being surrounded by so much elite talent is you don't learn how to win on Saturdays by yourself. You know, you have to learn to win on Saturdays by yourself if you're the quarterback at Mississippi State or you're the quarterback at North Carolina State or you're the quarterback at Cal, but not at USC. But he was there a long time. He started a lot of games. He was very experienced. And so by the numbers, it was a bad draft pick. But we all know you have to draft quarterbacks. You got to take the risk because if you don't and somebody else is successful, then you're fired.
Yep.
But with Darnold, you know, the numbers were against him right from the beginning. But because of his experience at USC, I was a little bit hopeful that it was there was an opportunity there. But when you look at the grades that I had, because he was coming from USC, that knocked him way down the list in terms of potential, and was a pretty big risk at number two from where he came from.
If we look at the draft, the approaching draft, it's about 3 weeks from now, and I was saying that before we took a break, Mac Jones, I mean, it's gone from he could be a second-round pick that somebody trades late in the first round so they get that fifth-year option to there are multiple people outside of the Niners saying, oh, yeah, that's a real thing at number three for Mac Jones. It blows my mind how that's happened so quickly.
You know, a lot of stuff in this world is all about marketing, baby. Right? I mean, right people talking about the right things at the right time and stuff blows up. But I'll tell you right now, if I had the ability to pick Mac Jones and there were people interested in the pick, I would trade that so damn fast for anything. Because Mac Jones, any quarterback from Alabama starting less than 20 games, I'm just gonna put a big X on that is almost a universal bust. It just isn't gonna work. It doesn't. If he is successful, he is such an outlying anomaly. It would be just unbelievable. There's really only one guy in college football that has played less than two seasons that was with a top 10 recruiter that has made a splash in the NFL in like the last 20 years, and that's Cam Newton. So if you think Mac Jones is physically, mentally up to the level of a Cam Newton, then by all means pick him. But by the numbers, dude, there is absolutely no way I am drafting that guy. And I think his rise up the charts is just simply a marketing thing. It's kind of like this whole quarterback draft.
Well, there may be six first-round picks.
Right. But it's all a bunch of sexy schools, right? Clemson, woo! Ohio State, woo! Alabama, woo! You know, you even got North Dakota State there. That's a sexy brand right now.
It's a darling.
Because it is. You know, and everybody loves talking about all these brands because guess what? Everybody's on their computer. Click, 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 click. You know, but shoot, give me the guy out of San Jose State next year. I'll take a Matt Corral over most of these guys in terms of potential. Because they're going to have to learn how to win on Saturdays. Most of these guys, really inexperienced, surrounded by massive talent. That, in terms of what has happened in the past 20 years in the NFL, is a four-letter word, and that is bust.
Wrap up with how much of what you just said about Mac Jones, it is a crossover potentially with Kyle Trask.
I'd take Trask over Jones.
Okay.
I mean, I would.
Because you don't have a Heisman winner at wide receiver and 20 touchdowns at tailback and the best offensive line in America. And
who had to come out of that tunnel and win more football games with their arms, Trask or Jones?
Yeah.
That's the guy I want.
Yeah.
That's the guy I want because that's what you got to do in the NFL. When you come out of the tunnel every Sunday, boom, it is all on you. Everything, every win, every loss, every criticism, every interception, every touchdown. It is the quarterback, the quarterback, the quarterback. You know how you learn to be a quarterback under pressure? You do it in college, and you do it over and over and over and over. Give me the guy in college that walked out of that tunnel, that shouldered the burden for two or three years, was a senior, massive experience, went through single A, double A, triple A football, and is actually ready to lead in the NFL. If you can't lead in Saturdays, you ain't leading on Sundays.
You know, it's funny because I was having this conversation off air with a buddy of mine, and I said something about Aaron Rodgers, and he's like, Cal's not nothing. I was like, exactly. They were top – I think his last year there was 04. Cal was top five for a minute, weren't they?
Look at all your NFL quarterbacks. Wisconsin's best team, Russell Wilson. You ever heard of a program, Miami of Ohio or something
Big
like
Ben.
That? I think they play football.
Big Ben.
Right. Had them in the top 25. When is the last time Boston College was worth a damn
Matt Ryan.
Football? Oh, Matt Ryan, top 10. Dude, it is one thing after another, and you got to be patient. And a lot of times you got to get lucky. But if there's one guy, there's only really one guy in this draft with big positive quarterback effect in college that has started more than 24 games, and that's Wilson. And to a small extent, Lawrence, but he's been surrounded by huge talent. You know, those are your two best picks. Those are your two best risks. After that, I think this draft absolutely falls apart, and I wouldn't draft anybody before the third round and waste my money.
Well, you know what? I made a note here and a giant asterisk, and I said I screwed it up last week because I forgot to bring it back, but I told everybody we're going to wrap up with Dave giving his cell phone number. So if you're a coach, boosters, a player, an agent, whatever, if you want to get in touch with Dave Bartou, what's the number?
Just text me, 503-504-8710. In fact, Chuck, I had some of your listeners text me. And for everybody that I didn't get back to, thank you for listening. I sincerely appreciate it.
It's Dave Bartou from CFP Matrix. We will do it again in 7 days. Dave, talk to you, brother.
Peace, brother.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.